Knowledge Fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is I don't know why necessarily YouTube recommended something to me, but okay. I'm glad they did.
Okay.
It's something I didn't really know existed, but somewhere in the back of my mind, I kind of think I must have known.
Okay.
It's something called GeoGuessing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, that's the shit. Oh, you don't know about GeoGuessr?
I think I knew it existed on some level, emotionally.
Yeah.
But I never watched a tournament
oh my God.
Of it, and I became endlessly fascinated.
It's incredible.
Well, because they have not memorized the whole world.
They can't possibly have memorized the whole world, can they?
No. And so I understand how this works.
Sure.
Sort of.
Sure.
Right? Obviously, the sun, the position of the sun,
right.
it has something to, that'll give you a clue about hemispheres
right.
and stuff like that.
Anytime you start with, obviously, the sun, we're in for a long day. Yeah.
Right. But the quality of the video or the picture that you're seeing,
yep.
the particulars of the car that is driving it, like, these things are tells that they have of, like, oh, this is in Asia somewhere,
yep.
blah, blah, blah. It's like, that to me is an insane amount of information to consume and then have at your disposal.
And then synthesize and then apply.
Yeah.
Insane.
But then sometimes they are able to figure out, like, oh, I see a little bit of writing over here. I can I know what street that is.
Yep.
It's just, it's amazing. But here's what I like.
What do you like?
They still always call it a guess. It's geo-guessing.
It's geo-guessing.
This person could figure out, like, I don't know, 1/8 of a mile
sure.
from a random picture on Google Earth.
Yes.
And it's still a guess.
Eh?
It's a little insulting to what these people are doing.
I mean, I don't know.
What a great guess.
Sometimes when they get it so close, it's witchcraft. It is, like, honestly terrifying whenever they're like, oh, and now we'll zero in on the exact spot they showed, and then it's the exact thing, but like at a little bit of a different angle, and you're like, that's the exact spot!
Yeah.
How did they do that?
And it's pretty remarkable how they managed to make a coherent game out of it.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that if you guess quick, you put the pressure on the other person because the timer will shorten.
Yep.
So there is kind of a strategic element to it. I got really caught up in
it's riveting too.
Yeah,
it is. Mm-hmm. It is quite literally riveting to watch these people look at a map and go, "I wonder where that is."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I when I started, like the first in a little bit of it, I was like, "That can't possibly be what this competition is."
It is exactly that.
It's exactly
100% that.
And somehow it is entertaining.
No more and no less. It is exactly what you think it is, and it's great.
Yeah. I was also watching the 2024 championships,
and
I was like, "Man, they drew a crowd. There's a bunch of people here to watch
totally
weirdos look at pictures of maps and be like, I know where that is."
It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be as visually compelling as we're so used to sports having to have things going on. And it's just two guys like kind of looking.
Mm-hmm. Being like, oh,
they're real intense.
Are they going to get that clue that might be a clue, but also might be a false clue?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, this picture looks like it was taken from a couple of years ago. Now, only in this country are these models of cars still used. This one is obviously the tires are only about 3/4 worn, so they've been doing this. Is it Tanzania? What?
But here's the fucked up thing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if you see a white car, you know it's got to be one of these four countries.
Yes.
It's not because there's only white cars in those countries.
No.
It's because there's only white cars captured on their yeah. Google car
yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
in those four countries.
Yep.
Oh, God. I just got a glimpse into a deep, deep world,
yeah.
is what I'm saying. And I enjoy it. I'm glad it exists, but I'm going to become a geoguesser. That's what I've
That's
decided.
Your plan?
No.
I think it's an admirable
it.
Pursuit.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is, from the mailbag, Zip.
Zip.
One of the wonks is actually a camera operator at, you guessed it, the United States Tennis Playing Open.
Wow.
And they have sent some swag.
The United States Tennis Playing Open?
No, I was just, oh. I was making it a...
I didn't know if that was something else.
No. Okay. It's the U.S. Open. It's the regular old U.S. Open. Yeah. So it was, you sent a tennis ball with the U.S. I mean, it's very cool for me. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very cool.
So you got an official ball from the Open?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has this been sweated on by Alcaraz?
I wish. I'd put it right up into those nostrils.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you get any wrist sweat?
I haven't actually gone and picked it up yet.
Okay.
I just know that it has arrived.
That's exciting.
So I'm excited to go grab it.
Maybe a U.S. Open headband.
I mean, it'll be really
replace
cool.
Replace your tie-dye nonsense.
I would be so excited to wear a U.S. Open headband.
Sure.
Straight up.
Sure.
Yep.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Thank you to that walk, by the way.
Yeah.
In case they were ever wondering if I was thanking them. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, for
I thought
sure.
you were saying fuck you for
yeah,
sending
fuck
that.
You. Yeah.
fuck you for this episode.
Nice.
Not you. The universe.
Fair.
Because it's not great. A package from the U.S. Open is great. This ain't great.
Yeah.
But, hey, we're going to be talking about September 15th, 2024.
All
the
right.
reason for this. Day that Trump got shot again. Or sort of. Kind of figured, let's see what Alex is up to.
Yeah.
See how he responds to the day of news breaking that
sure.
Someone shot at Trump again. But didn't, actually. But there was a gun on his
sure.
golf course.
Okay.
So we'll get down to business and see how Alex handles this. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Liriel and Robert, clearing hoarder houses full of rats' carcasses. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Matt eats a sodomite's bucket of poop. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Tucker's callous cannibalism joke. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we get a technocrat in the mix. So thank you so much, too. I've been a wonk for 3.5 years and finally got around to asking for a shout-out. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
And if you would like a shout out, just send an email to knowledgefight@gmail.com.
You bet.
Jordan will get you on that there list.
Indeed.
So, look. Butler, PA.
Sure.
He had a Trump assassination attempt.
Right.
There was a shot while he was on stage.
Sure.
Got some ear, a lot of blood in that ear.
Sure.
And, of course, Alex afterwards was like, they're going to do it again.
Naturally.
I think everybody was kind of like, it seems like it could happen again.
These are the times.
But Alex was very insistent there was going to be poisoning, there was going to be a car bombing
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah.
I won't give him prophetic credit for a guy with a gun showed up near the golf course of Mar-a-Lago.
Nah, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
But he will. He will give himself the I called this credit.
Sure.
Of course. And we'll see what else he does. But here is an out-of-context drop because this is just super cool.
It's going to be real funny when they kill him. Not.
Ha ha! So cool.
That is the first time the 90s has really made me laugh. Mm.
Psych!
Oh, God. What an amazing. Oh.
It's good.
Oh, man. You say a thing and then you dot, 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 and then say not. Mm. Mwah! Perfect.
It's timing.
Perfect.
So here we go.
Yeah.
We'll jump in with Alex breaking the news here on his show from the 15th.
We are 50 days, 9 hours, 59 minutes, 34 seconds until the election, the most important election in world history. It is Sunday, September 15, 2024. And on Friday's show, I said another assassination attempt against Trump is imminent, probably at Mar-a-Lago, probably at his golf course. That's the main target. They know when he's there most often. And we caught the globalists with their pants down on this big time. I have literally hundreds of articles where within minutes of this breaking, about an hour and 45 minutes ago, every channel, CNN, New York Times, all of them, had been given the official story by whoever that it was just a gang shootout and it wasn't Trump and everything was fine. Then Sean Hannity was supposed to go with him and play golf this morning but didn't. Calls Trump and calls other witnesses. They're between the fifth and sixth hole. The Secret Service see a guy with a gun pointed at Trump. They reportedly start shooting. They tackle Trump. He had a semi-automatic rifle described as an AK-47 type. They return fire. The individual flees in a black SUV and has been captured. Now, will they blame Iran? We don't know. But who gave them the story that, oh, it's a high crime area, the richest area in the U.S., and that...
Isn't that a high crime? Am I right?
It wasn't an assassination attempt of Trump.
So I'm not sure exactly what media Alex is talking about, where they said there was likely a gang shooting nearby Mar-a-Lago, but as far as the stuff I saw, everyone was covering it as a potential attempted assassination pretty much from the jump.
Yeah.
I don't know what coordinated media campaign Alex is talking about, but whatever. This guy didn't shoot at Trump. The Secret Service saw a gun muzzle in the bushes and shot at him, so he fled and then was caught. Much of the early reporting about this explains that at Trump's golf course, it's pretty difficult to provide complete security for the entire area.
It's a golf course!
But that expense is provided for a sitting president. Since he's not the president, they had this standard where they would secure a hole Trump was playing, and then someone would go ahead and secure the next hole before he got to that, and also maintain security on the hole prior, which is pretty tight security, but it does have some gaps. The Secret Service did its job here, and without them being alert and doing a good job, this guy could have gotten a shot off. More importantly, I'm not convinced that anyone cares about this happening. Apparently, attempted assassinations are just kind of normal now. It feels very weird.
Yep. I think in general, if I was Trump, my concern would not be with being shot during an assassination attempt, but with the number of concussions that I'm going to receive over the myriad times the Secret Service is going to tackle me during each attempt.
It's a real concern.
Yeah, I mean, it's CTE.
He's an old elderly man.
Totally.
Too.
What if he breaks a bone? It's, this is, I mean, frankly.
I think it poses more of a risk for him.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
So, yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the idea that, well, this has happened again. I think... Already, what are we're recording this on the 19th.
Sure.
And already, I think...
Everybody's moved on.
Yep.
Yep.
I don't like that, but it is the vibe.
I don't know.
Out there.
What is it? What does everybody want? Everybody wants to party. Just let me know where the party is. Let's just go there. I don't know what to tell you.
So here's a potential location for a party.
Okay.
Bunker.
I like it.
That's where Trump should be having
that
a party.
That is a good call.
In a damn bunker,
get him in
Trump.
A bunker.
Don't worry, A.G. Garland briefed on Trump security incident. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't go to the DHS or the Justice Department. They're the ones that had the stand down and lied to Congress and did what they did in Butler. And when they failed and Trump got even more popular, what were they going to try again? Well, you know what they're going to try again. They're going to try to kill him again and again and again. And Trump needs to start taking this stuff seriously. He needs to just go to a media bunker, point out the deep state's trying to kill him, and broadcast basically 10 hours a day. They'll win by 75 points. If he keeps running around, they will kill him. If he makes it to the election, they'll kill him when he's president-elect during the 76 days.
So should he be
it's
in the bunker then,
certainty.
Too?
They're going to keep trying till they kill him. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones. We're live.
This guy maybe should never leave a bunker.
Okay, new plan. All right? Everybody who thinks they're important enough and under threat enough to require a bunker, get to your bunker right now. Get to that bunker.
I
And then we'll all just pretend like everybody's down there forever. And then we just move on.
Yeah, and we're totally watching the broadcast.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's so scary. You guys better stay in that bunker.
10 hours a day. We love all that content, Trump.
So good. We've got a guy watching it.
Trump, you definitely have enough to say for 10 hours a day. Oh, no, you probably don't. Maybe you should give a couple of hours of that time to Alex and do your bunker broadcast network. Some dumb shit.
I'll tell you what. As long as they're in the bunker and everybody up here is pretending that it's where they need to be, I think we'll be fine.
Trump gets bored, starts interviewing a robot. Like, what are you going to do to fill 10 hours a day? This is ridiculous.
Know. Oh, man. I would watch.
Somebody wants this.
I would watch Trump bunker talk.
Big brother? Trump yes. bunker big brother?
Yeah. Yes. The Trump cabinet is now in a bunker, and we're doing big brother voting stuff.
Throw in Alex.
Yep.
Throw in a lot of these ding-dongs.
100%.
Throw Hannity, Loomer in there.
Loomer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get them all in there.
That would be good.
I would watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ratings would be high. Ooh. Some of those physical challenges would be tough.
Yeah.
Alex probably would fuck around and get voted out first, too.
Quick question. Could Trump use the Secret Service to do those physical challenges for him, like a superpower?
I mean, not according to the rules of the show as it exists.
Sure.
But we can rewrite that shit.
Well, I mean, it's in a bunker.
Yeah. I think he could have a champion. Maybe
okay.
Alex could be his champion.
I like this. Now yeah. we've got champions. Mm-hmm. I'm liking this.
Yeah. Or I guess, like, get Stephen Miller to be his champion.
Sure.
Because he's been around for a while.
Let's just put him in a different bunker
by
himself.
He doesn't seem to have a whole lot of personality.
Let's just keep him in a bunker.
Maybe one of his kids, maybe Don Jr. could do it.
That would be fun.
Yeah. On his behalf.
Yeah. Watching,
sort of like a designated hitter.
Watching them have to try and not hate each other is just great.
Oh, man. And that would be just so great.
Yeah.
That'd be so great. Who's going to get head of household?
Ugh.
The politics down there.
The politics would be so petty.
Mm-hmm.
It would be beyond any reality TV show that we've ever watched. We would watch that and be like, I can't believe pettiness exists on that level.
This is really the only way that Trump going to a bunker and broadcasting 10 hours a day is a viable option.
Yeah.
As it is now, it's very funny for Alex to suggest this as, like, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
We've gone in a matter of a very short amount of time from Trump needs to do fireside chats to alleviate and reassure the American public to,
yes.
we gotta get this fucker in a bunker.
Yep. Yep. We need to go full fucking pirate radio. Mm-hmm. He needs to be in international waters in a submarine in case a nuclear blast goes off.
In something that is shockingly evocative of Hitler's last days.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Calls to mind positive images.
Yeah, I mean, Saddam Hussein's two kids are still alive, right?
According to Alex.
According to Alex, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So, they're going to try and kill Trump again.
Sure.
Alex will tell you that he was right on and ignore the car bombs and all the other stuff that he predicted.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a motive. And
right.
I think in this next clip, Alex lays out what the motive is.
Massive developments are happening every day. The globalist deep state tried to kill Trump and Butler. The evidence is overwhelming. They lied to Congress about it. All the evidence came out last week. They want to start pure World War III with Russia. Biden did green light bombing Russia starting as early as this week with heavy U.S.-made missiles. An act of war, Russia says. They need Trump out of the way for their big global plans of global domination. So there's so much to unpack here. Now, about 2 hours ago, on the golf course by Mar-a-Lago, between the fifth and sixth hole, citizens saw it, witnesses saw it. That's now come out. A man very calmly got up an SUV with a GoPro and a rifle and go up to the woods and wait, be right where Trump would be, totally being coordinated, ladies and gentlemen. And either began a shot or was about to shoot, and the Secret Service tackled Trump, shot at him. He escaped. They've captured him. Now, did the globalist hire through some third party an Iranian who thinks he's for the Iranians and they're about to set up Iran at World War III? Seen a lot of pre-programming on that. I don't know. Is it some maniac that had help? Because he clearly knew where right to be.
So it's fun to just spitball nonsense in the immediate aftermath of a potentially pretty serious event. But that's, you know, that's Alex's prerogative.
I can't imagine a weirder thing to occur than for the former president, currently running for president, to be assassinated by Iran before the election.
Right.
That makes so little sense to me that it would be mind-boggling, right?
It does. It would. It's a strange thing to imagine.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, you know, there have been intel reports that have come out that Iran has made threats against Trump.
Sure.
So, like, the possibility of it actually happening, I don't think is zero.
Well, I mean,
but it would be
You know, but I mean, I think that's kind of a back and forth. Trump's made threats against Iran. Iran's made threats against Trump. You know, everybody just kind of threatens each other. And,
sure.
But I mean, for that, that would just be such a strange news day of everybody going like, okay, well then now what? Mm-hmm. What's your next step?
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree.
You don't control the government now. Yeah, I don't know. Weird.
I don't know what would play out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's likely.
Ah, very.
And I don't think that's what this was.
I agree.
But at least now we kind of have some sort of a coherent idea of why they want to kill Trump.
Sure.
And the idea is that he, you know, won't allow them to have war with Russia.
Right.
So I guess that's what it is.
Right. Okay.
At least there's some coherence there at very least.
Okay. So so Alex's conception of this geopolitical battle is Iran comes out and says, we have killed Trump and now we'll go to war with Russia.
Mm. No, I think that Iran will be used as kind of a false flag opportunity. Here.
Okay.
They'll blame someone.
Okay.
They'll blame Iran on a patsy of some sort in order to get a war going with Iran in lieu of a war with Russia.
Okay.
They want both. They want it
they
all.
Got, they just want wars.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The globalists are real greedy, and they love their wars.
They just love their wars.
Yeah, and Trump stands in the way of them.
Right.
So that's why they got to take him out.
Even if he's just golfing.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're gonna try and kill Trump and Vance.
Sure.
And pay close attention here, because Alex says pray for Trump, but does not say pray for Vance.
They're making their move, folks. There's a coup over America. They stole the 2020 election. They know Trump's winning by a landslide. There's not enough fraud to steal it. Too big to rig. And so all they can do is try to kill Trump. And they're going to kill J.D. Vance, too. They already been sabotaging their aircraft. Both their aircraft have had problems all of a sudden, emergency landings. This is just out of control. Drone attacks, you name it. Pray for Trump right now. And you know what? If he keeps doing this stuff, I'm going to go on the trail following Trump around, bullhorning and making a big scene about this.
Do it.
I'm going to protest him if he continues to do this. Not that I don't support him. It's the opposite. Trump, you're in a war. It's time to put you in the bunker.
I'm going to follow you around on tour and bullhorn you to go to the bunker. Go to the bunker. Alex has suggested he was going to do this in the past, and he hasn't.
Yeah.
But it is a funny concept. It's a funny image.
Yeah. It's tough to travel that much.
I don't think
road.
Alex could.
I don't think so. I don't know if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, getting older these days.
Well, the days of the Caravanity Project are kind of maybe behind us in terms of what they're able to pull off.
Yeah.
You can't send Owen in a tank to go do this in 2024.
No.
You don't have the budget.
Nope.
Don't have the tank. Owen's on
maybe don't
parole.
Even have the Owen anymore. Yeah, I was going to say, don't even have the Owen.
Owen can't leave the state.
Oh, boy.
Times are tough.
Yep.
So, but I do like the idea of Alex showing up in the background of some of these events and just yelling, go to the bunker.
I think the thing that I clock here is that if I wanted to metaphorically kill Trump, the number one thing I would do is convince him to pick J.D. Vance as his running mate, right?
Sure. And if I wanted to cut off any kind of momentum or appeal that he has to anybody, I would say go get in a bunker instead of doing these fun rallies that are the reason people like you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think the safest man in politics right now is J.D. Vance.
Probably, and that's why you don't have to pray for him.
Exactly. If you hate Trump, he's your guy.
But the only real threat, I think, to whatever makes Trump popular is listening to Alex.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing your traveling show.
Yeah.
Guy who is only relevant because of your traveling
show. Stop drumming up all of this public support that you so desperately need since you can't do anything else anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to go to the bunker, though.
Go to the bunker.
He should pick one of his golf courses that has a resort area in the corner of it. They have those. He owns a bunch of golf courses. It's got a mansion on it that can be defended and encircled with no major roads around it so that people can't bring truck bombs in. And then that's not even safe because they can hijack a jet and fly it into them. Mm. So he needs to be
relatable
in a bunker. Not on the news. Trump's back at Mar-a-Lago, and everybody knows he plays golf every day. And then this guy, and there are police and Secret Service all over the place, patrolling back and forth, pulls up, parks his SUV, and then magically knows how to run in the woods. And I've looked it up. They do question anybody that pulls a car off and parks it, usually within a few minutes. So he wasn't like checking here and checking there and pulling over here and running over there and looking for Trump on a giant golf course, 18 holes. I live on one, folks. Believe me, it'd be hard for me to, you know, just know somebody's playing golf at some time and then just drive around on the roads looking and hoping I see them.
See, these are the kinds of heroes we need for populism.
Yeah.
The people who live on golf courses.
You know what I love? I love it whenever they invent 1500s defensive measures.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, oh, let's... What should we do? Build a castle? Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that idea for our presidential democracy.
See, he has a golf course. And he has a mansion on it. Many of them. Plenty of them. He needs to choose the most defensible one and dig a moat around
it. He needs to
put a moat. Now, here's the problem. People can swim. That's why we need alligators in that moat.
It makes sense.
And this is why he really needs to use one of the southern states, one of the golf courses on the southern states, because it's temperate for swamp monsters to be in the moat.
Yeah. It is. That is very much like, you know, sometimes you look at people when they make decisions in the past and you're like, that doesn't make any sense. But if you start where they started and then just keep reacting in the wrong way, you'll find yourself in that dumb spot where you're like, well, castles do make sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's just silly that Alex has this whole thing of Trump is a man of the people.
Yeah.
He owns all of these golf courses. And he's going to choose the most defensible one.
Yep.
And create a bunker. And also, I live on a golf course.
Yeah.
I'm relatable, too.
Yeah, you know,
it's very strange.
One of the most reliable measures of the quality of a ruler is whether or not he can walk amongst his people without protection.
Well.
For the protection is the people.
Well, look, if you just pretend that all attacks come from the globalists, then.
There you go.
This is not a test.
That does make sense.
So you're kind of dumb if you don't think that this was a conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
This whole thing was all a plot.
Oh.
The Secret Service once again tried to kill Trump.
I'm going to get a cup of coffee, and I'm going to come back and lay through all this. But we can obsess over the new assassination attempt and the details all day. You're an idiot if you don't think the deep state, bare minimum, told this guy where to go. Now, notice you're seeing a press conference right away. You never saw one in Butler, did you? Because that was a total setup. This guy just got told where to be, guaranteed had an earpiece or a phone, but the FBI is going to be in control of that phone. Who told him where to be? Who guided him to what spot? They need to check all his GPS, his phone record, how many times he's been back to the golf course, who'd he meet with. But the Justice Department's going to run and control this, so you'll never see that.
This is really just conspiracy bullying. Alex has done nothing to prove any of these claims. He's done basically nothing to convince me that this shooting was a deep state plot. But now I'm an idiot if I don't automatically accept the framing that he's presenting. I feel like his career really would have gone nowhere if he was acting like this the whole time.
Yeah.
There's no appeal to this.
No. This is like a thing that you can only get from after having built something, because now you take it all for granted.
Yeah. And your audience will let you get away with it. But I mean, this is just, he's just drawn conclusions that are based on nothing and is like, I will express hostility towards you if you don't automatically accept my conclusion.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Just blind rage and fury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
It's not the kind of thing that's going to bring in flies like honey.
It is the kind of thing that's going to make me suggest you should go to a bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Having some bunker thoughts. So Alex does make up a fair amount of details about this shooting.
Well, that's nice that he makes
this
them up.
This did not happen 50 days out from the election by accident, just like Butler didn't happen by accident. The cover-up and the lies and the stand-down and everything else. And it's a no-brainer that they're going to try again and again and again and again and again and again to kill Trump. And they asked in the press conference that's still ongoing, well, Why didn't he have Secret Service guarding the golf course? Well, he's not the president. He gets a small number. And he supposedly have Army Special Operations former people, there's no such thing, that are guarding him as well. Well, didn't work, did it? A private citizen stopped it. Like they tried to stop it in Butler, but the Secret Service sat there.
So this is a lie, and Alex knows it's a lie. Anyone listening to this show should know that Alex is intentionally lying, because just before this, he played some of that live press conference from the police, which included this.
The Secret Service agent that was on the course did a fantastic job. What they do is they have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at. And he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual, at which time the individual took off.
Alex has a vested interest in creating the narrative that the Secret Service didn't do anything to stop this assassination attempt, and that it was just a loyal Trump fan bystander who caused a response to happen. This was the narrative that stuck as it relates to the Butler shooting, so it's important for this one to follow the same pattern, because they're supposed to be being carried out by the same people for the same goal. This is the priority, making the day's events fit the narrative structure that's being sold. If the details don't match, you can just make shit up, and it doesn't even matter if you've played a press conference earlier in the show that contradicts your made-up details. This is hostile to an audience.
Yeah. Because it's almost cartoonish the way that it's described, too. Like, it's almost like you can see the mental image of, like, a barrel suddenly slowly sticking out through with, like, a little... And then somebody running in going, you know, like that. Like, it's such a simple and calm picture, you know? It is not complicated.
It's the Secret Service, by following the protocols that they follow, found this person. And Alex is being like, oh, that's proof that they did it.
Yeah.
What?
No. It's almost like, I mean, it's, what would I say? It's partially noteworthy just due to competence.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really competent way of things working out.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great if they did have a castle and a moat around this this golf course, because the former president is there, but that's unfeasible.
Huh.
And so it turns out this system worked pretty well.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, everybody did their job.
Great.
I mean, it's almost not notable.
So you know who didn't do a great job? The shooter.
Because I agree.
He chose a bad gun.
Got a guy.
Is
with
that
his
our problem?
And, you know, gun and all the rest of it with his scope. They said it was an AK-47 type rifle. The clip, the magazine looks like one, but I don't know. The rest of the rifles, I look at a Dragunov or whatever those Russian style sniper ones are. There are a lot of those sold in the market here in the United States. Not the rifle I'd use, but thank God these guys aren't using 300 Win Mags.
I could assassinate any old president.
338 Lapua or some of the others. I know there's some smaller rounds people like, but I like a 300 Win Mag. I can shoot mountain goats at 800 yards all day, never miss. But thank God they're not using a real rifle. But that's what these people think are good.
So you're that's a strange place for your brain to take you.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially I have a bigger penis, and you're an idiot, because I could totally assassinate any old president whenever I want to.
But thank God that you don't have that ability.
Yeah.
And I know guns.
Yikes.
And I think Alex is like saying Lapua. He says that a lot.
It's fun to say Lapua.
It is.
It's got a like the in the middle of it. It's got a nice crescendo, crescendo. I like it, yeah.
So Alex rants here a little bit about how they're going to blow up Trump's plane.
Okay.
Which was his prediction last time, too.
Sure.
And it didn't happen.
Mm.
But maybe now, because there was another shooting,
if they'll have to escalate. On the golf course.
I guess. They're just waiting to have some driver or somebody that works with one of these reporters, be a Trump supporter, mainstream media doesn't matter, that get on Air Force One. Trump should not have the press corps on his airplane. Everyone should be double-searched when they come on, because all it takes is a half pound of plastic explosives, or 2 pounds, or a pound, woven into the inside of a purse, inside the lining, and then the plane's taken off, perfect time, and all you do is dial the cell phone, call, and when the call goes through, fuselage blows out. It'll probably detonate at about 3,000 feet to get a good crash. You ready for Trump? You ready to wake up?
You need to go to the bunker, man.
You're ready to be at work at lunch, and everybody starts running around going, oh, President Trump's plane went down. You ready for that? You ready to hear, oh, a big explosion at Mar-a-Lago. You ready for that? You ready for that? Because that's what you're going to be watching, and you're going to be seeing, and he'll be dead. And then they're going to stage a bunch of false flags and say right-wingers did it in response to it. And this is all very easy to know what's going on. I'm sitting here like telling you what's going to happen if Trump doesn't stop. Do I have to get on an airplane and find his schedule and go make a huge scene? I've been thinking about what I'm going to have to pull. God, do I have to do everything?
I have to do everything around here. Am I going to have to blow up Trump's plane? What the fuck is going on?
I'm sorry.
Here?
Did anybody ask you to do something? Was there a voice in the back of your head being like, "You're going to have to do it"? Oh, am I going to have to do it? Nobody wants you to.
God was telling him you have to do everything around here.
Strong disagree.
Alex has to go make a big scene in order to make Trump stop doing these events.
Right.
Because if he keeps doing these events and doesn't go to a bunker,
right,
the globalists are going to kill him, and then there's going to be a bunch of false flags that get blamed on right-wingers in response to that.
Right.
And then we're off to the races, probably war with Russia.
Right. But the translation for that is that if somebody kills Trump, whomever it may be, then no matter what, because of what we have done to right-wingers' brains, they are going to believe it was blank.
Right.
No matter what.
Yeah.
And then they're going to do stuff.
There will be some acts of domestic terrorism, a lot of them probably right-wing in nature.
Right,
and
right.
We will call them false flags.
Right. No, there's a weird like admission of, listen, because we have destroyed any and all reasonable objective truth or the possibility of agreeing on it, we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a strange thing to admit.
Unless we put Trump in a very, very safe cage until the election. First of all, we have no chance of winning that election, probably. And second, someone's going to hurt him. It's just too many accelerationist types. Many of them on the right, many of them on the left, many of them probably of no discernible political real motivation.
Sure.
Recognize the value of him dying in terms of kicking off all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah, I guess. Or maybe they're all recognizing that the opposite is true. It's a waste of your time because nobody actually is going to wind up caring.
I think that maybe fortunately that is kind of how it seems to there's not like a great deal of reprisal necessarily that you've seen in the aftermath of this.
No,
you've seen a lot of people talking a lot of shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
maybe Alex talking
LaPua.
Some shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So Alex discusses how the shooting went, and he makes up a fair amount of details.
Okay.
You know this was quarterbacked by Merrick Garland. Guaranteed, 100%. They used a couple of cutouts to, you know, tell the guy where to be. He was so coordinated. He was driving around in the area, ready. They probably drilled it a few times. His source says, all right, go to zone such and such. He's got it marked on his GPS, pulls up. Walk. There's Trump right there. Pops out with a gun. Secret Service start firing at him. We're not sure if he fired. And the rest is history. I mean, precision.
It's a fun story, but none of that's based on anything. That's kind of just Alex writing a scene.
Yeah. What I find fascinating about that is that if this is a classic Garland operation, then that suggests that the reason that this is happening is because Mitch McConnell wouldn't seat him on the Supreme Court.
You don't think he could do false flags from the Supreme Court?
I mean, well, that's, I think, the question.
The argument that I think is compelling here is the attorney general position is a lot better situated for that.
I mean, yeah, it is fascinating. You know, if this is the case, then perhaps this is a man scorned. Mm-hmm. You stole his job, and now he's hell-bent on revenge.
It's a supervillain story.
Absolutely.
And so now, if all of this is true, and we're living within this false reality,
yeah, uh-huh.
Then Alex has this terrible decision to make, which is go back in time.
Right.
And stop Mitch McConnell
right.
from stopping the Merrick Garland Supreme Court nomination. But in the process, you lose overturning Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
What do you do?
And you probably lose the election.
Mm-hmm. What do you do?
You save Trump's life, but you mortgage the country's future, Dan.
Uh-huh.
Or not. I think in either direction.
In terms of like a sci-fi movie, this is an interesting premise.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
A propagandist must choose.
A Sophie's choice for the propagandist would be the death of the God King or the kingdom brought about by the death of the God King.
In the real world, though, Alex is just making all this stuff up.
Yep.
And so it's, I mean, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just a story.
Yeah, I just don't see Merrick Garland being the mastermind behind this. Maybe I'm making a lot of assumptions.
You don't know Merrick.
I don't. I could be making a lot of assumptions.
So Alex, you know, he tells these stories about how this all went down, precision. It's all Garland pulling the strings and all this stuff.
Sure.
And it's essential to do stuff like this because you have to be interesting for the audience.
Right.
They demand something that will grab their attention.
Can't be boring.
And you're always trying to get those new eyeballs, mm-hmm. you know, those new people who are coming in.
Eyeballs is money.
Now, unfortunately, that's not true.
Oh.
New people don't buy shit.
Uh-oh.
They just tried to kill your freedom. They just attacked you. Do you understand that? Do you take this personal? This is not a fucking game.
Language.
All right, let me do this because we're going to win. Trump's going to be safer. I trust in God. God's hand's on us, and we've got to stay on air. Before I start the next hour, we had 40 million viewers on X of Friday's show. It wasn't just my show. It was the loop of all the shows. The network feed had 30 million. My show, you added up the other shows. There's over 40 million views of the shows Friday. But a loop of Harrison, myself, and Owen, 30 million plus. And then others, 10 million, 40 plus million. And I'm not bitching. It's great. And we did see some uptake in sales. We had millions and millions on InfoWars. But it's new listeners, folks, and they don't buy crap. It is the original hardcore folks, you know who you are, that are supporters, that are responsible for the fact we're reaching so many people. I salute you. I thank you. Great job.
So I don't think that uptick was very much.
I mean, it makes sense. In a simple just business way. Right. If he's talking about new listeners through social media direct sites, right? Mm. Well, the products he sells are for old people who are going to bunkers and need filters and shit.
A lot of them are survival based.
Yeah.
And dealing with issues of aging with false promises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like products for the hip young Nazi.
What about cool shirts?
I don't know. Do people still buy cool shirts? Is that a thing? What do people buy anymore? Protein bars?
Sure. Yeah. Alex probably sells those.
I think that's what you should really hammer.
Colloidal silver.
See, you're not gonna get the kids with colloidal silver.
Mm.
That's just not happening.
What should you do? Put out a InfoWars Tamagotchi?
Absolutely.
What's the deal?
Get a TikTok. Wars.
Get a TikTok.
Get a TikTok.
Yeah.
That's the oldest I've ever sounded.
Yeah, I don't know what the kids want. But I think that Alex's his traffic may be largely inorganic.
Yeah.
Or people looking in to see if there's a train wreck.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe that doesn't translate to a whole lot of sales.
Yeah.
I think his business strategy might be a little bit flawed.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit like occasionally walking by Old Yeller, being like, "Oh, not Old Yeller, Old Faithful, Old Yeller." Well, a little bit Old Yeller. Hopefully, Old Yeller.
I think it has a lot of the vibe of people who made the pivots to video and stuff, unnecessarily using bad metrics. Alex is looking at these numbers, and I think that he thinks that they're real and thinks that they mean that 40 million people were all watching him and rapt with attention.
Yeah.
These are not potential customers.
No.
So anyway, Alex Lies, a little bit about MSNBC.
MSNBC on second assassination Trump. MSNBC on second assassination attempt. Trump had it coming. These people, man.
Crazy.
They're literally out to get us. They want to cut our sons' penises off. And they brainwash them in public schools from Texas to New York, from Colorado to California. You think you're in a red state, but your cities are blue in most cases.
Okay, man, that was out of nowhere. But that headline Alex is reading isn't something that was posted on MSNBC. That headline that says that Trump had it coming is from InfoWars, which is how one of Alex's employees characterized what people on MSNBC said.
Right.
They never said that Trump had it coming. They said that he's not going to de-escalate his public rhetoric and that he has a very serious propensity towards violent language. That's sure. what they were talking about.
Sure. Well,
and the aftermath of the last assassination attempt.
Yeah.
They thought, everyone kind of thought, like, eh, maybe he'll cool out. Maybe he'll take the temperature down a little
sure,
bit.
Sure, sure, sure.
And he didn't.
No, they did. I mean, you know, I understand why you would characterize what they said as being shortened down to he had it coming. But I would argue that it's more like a it takes two to tango scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a, hey, you do this, you're going to get, you know, talk shit, get hit situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a different conversation.
I think that, you know, he had it coming as being Alex's InfoWars headline
yeah.
about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that it's like on the far end of how people write headlines.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case for Alex. A lot of times it is completely out of whole cloth.
Yeah.
He's misrepresenting what they said.
Yeah.
But a lot of headlines are kind of misrepresentative of the content.
Let's face it.
Of an article. But he had it coming is after the former president has a theoretical assassination attempt. It's a pretty crazy thing to put on somebody.
Yeah.
And so for him to claim that MSNBC is saying that, I think it's
probably
too
a lot.
Far.
It's probably a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex starts ranting here about how like the shooter knew exactly where to go. And then he starts swearing.
I mean, I think the evidence would see the thing about knowing exactly where to go is that after the fact you can prove that the shooter did not know exactly where to go.
You know what? I think I agree and disagree with you. And there's a very obvious fucking reason. But I'll let Alex talk about how it's all so suspicious. And then he starts swearing. And then he gets mad at you if you're judging him for swearing.
Yeah, that's fair.
How big is Trump's golf course in Mar-a-Lago? How many acres is Trump's golf course in Mar-a-Lago? What? 400? 500? 600? Probably 1,000? I don't know. And so a guy, imagine you're hunting a buck, and there's woods all over the place. It's heavily wooded. I'd say half the golf course is woods, and there's roads around it. He knows right where to pop up, right where the buck is, right on the hole he wants. Come on, people. You're hunting on 500 acres, and there's one buck, and you just pull your car up and just get out, and the buck's right where you come out. Come on, people.
Do bucks usually golf?
That's why folks tune into this show, because I come up with the angles other people don't, and I don't want to be the one come up with the angles. It's so frustrating. I mean, that's what the Secret Service and the local police should be asking, and then the FBI, is how the hell did this guy know right where to pop up? Okay, well, it's 7,326 yards of play space. Look up this. How many square miles is the West Palm Beach Golf Club? That's what I want to know. It's when I said 500 acres, it's going to be thousands. Let me make a guess. It's a very expensive area, so I bet it's smaller than that. I bet it's 1,000 acres.
What are we
but
doing?
But it doesn't matter. The point is it's big. And if you think that guy just parked his car, went through woods, well, you can't even see the golf course there. It's designed like that. And then pops out and just perfectly is about to kill Trump, you need to have your head examined. I'm so angry I can barely do the show right now. I don't want to start cussing. But I know what it's going to be like if they kill Trump. I mean, you know, my ass is on the line. So is yours, but mine a lot faster. I mean, our lives are in the fucking balance here. God fucking damn it. See, I'm not taking the Lord's name in vain. I don't mean to disrespect. I apologize. I'm
is that how God works?
I want God to damn these people. I mean that. I'm praying for God to damn these people to hell. I grew up Baptist. They're like, you ever say that, you're taking God's name in vain. No, I'm not taking it in vain. I mean it. I want God to damn these people. It doesn't matter. I'm not a preacher or a priest, so God knows my heart and you don't. And what comes out of my mouth comes out when I want to say it. I am beyond pissed off right now. Oh, boy. Okay, I got control. It's only 200 acres, so I guess that it's still big.
Still big. Still big. Now, that's obviously unintentional, but yeah. Amazing timing.
That's an amazing punch.
Yeah.
That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spinning his wheels entirely, just and we have to fucking put a button on the how big is.
God fucking dick. The point is it's big. Yeah. God fucking. You know what? People don't even like it when they say, I'm not saying the Lord. 200 yards, huh? Okay.
Also, oh, still pretty big. Fifth the size that Alex
was. I don't know. Is that big? I don't know.
It's big enough.
It's too big.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So all this that Alex is doing here is a really fun imagination exercise, but what if we added in a couple more details?
All right.
So you're a hunter that's trying to find a single buck in a couple hundred yards, and that's kind of like a needle in a haystack. But what if that buck was playing a game that required he follow a single path through those couple hundred yards? And what if that game involved going to specific starting and ending points in sequential order? You'd know that the buck was going to get to the tee at hole 5, for example, eventually, like if they started playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't need luck or a magical ability to find the buck. It would come to you by virtue of how the game the buck was playing works. And Alex keeps saying, like, oh, he just got out of his car and was magically right where he needed to be. What if I told you that he camped out for 12 hours beforehand?
Well,
he didn't just get out of his car and magically was at the right spot.
Well, you know, I mean, 12 hours. I mean, it's not a new iPhone, but, you know, 12 hours is enough.
If you know that one comes before two, before three, before four,
sure,
and holes are numbered,
yeah,
and it's on a golf course,
sure,
you can't move the golf course. Like, you know where the things are.
Yeah.
You could just maybe camp out somewhere for 12 hours, knowing that someone was eventually going to be at a certain point.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of the opening scene on Ocean's 11, right? Whenever they're stealing the blueprints to the Bellagio or whatever, you know, and they've got that whole, they do the whole they're cool thing, and how important it is to have the blueprints of the Bellagio in order to pull off this heist. And it's like, well, now you could just Google Maps it, and now you have the whole, now you can pull it off.
Or,
it's not hard. You know the whole terrain.
Or you could interview a robot.
Or you could find a geoguesser.
Could give, oh.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Now we're talking.
Now, here's two things that I thought of with the geoguesser.
Okay.
One that I just thought of and one that I thought of earlier.
All right.
The one that I just thought of was show them the inside of a safe or something like that. Like, where is this? See how good they really
see
are.
See how real good, yeah.
And the second thing that I was thinking of while I was watching it is like, give them a fucking fake location. See what happens then.
Oh, yeah?
What would happen?
I mean, are you trying to trick them?
Would they make an educated guess about a fake location?
Oh, or would they be like the person who's like, Steve died last year, otherwise I would answer your obvious trick question.
Would they be able to tell it was fake?
I don't think
they would, but it would be interesting to see how they rationalized what their guess was.
What if they know Earth so well they know when not Earth?
It's impossible.
I mean, I don't know.
There's no way. So I get that Alex thinks that he's come up with some mind-blowing angle on the shooting, but it's just dumb. That's why he needs to oversell it with this dramatic, swear-filled display. He's overcompensating for how stupid this is.
Yeah.
Just the fact that it was a golf course means that you, like, it's not finding a buck within a wooded area. So dumb.
I remember playing Assassin's Creed Revelations, the third in the Ezio trilogy, you know, and you would do the eagle eye vision, and then it would give you the exact track that the guards would take.
Sure.
You know, you'd have like, oh, well, if I go over here and wait, then the guard will come to me. Mm-hmm. I know this for a fact because I see the track.
Yeah.
It is impossible for the guard not to come to me.
But how did you manage to magically figure out where it was going to be?
I believe it was triangle.
Okay.
And then here we are.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's clearly an inside job, though.
Yeah, that does make sense.
So Alex has a surprise guest that comes on.
Uh-huh.
This is the future Secretary of Retribution.
Okay.
Ivan Raiklin.
All right.
And he is very dumb.
It's very disingenuous to say that it is another mistake. Like Jack Dorsey says when he censors folks, it's a mistake. The Secret Service say it's a mistake. No, at this point in time, it needs to be presumed that it was an inside job. And then it needs to be disproven that it was an inside job.
What?
I agree. What are your other observations?
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I like the idea of some lunatic who thinks that he's going to be a secretary of retribution, demanding people prove that they're innocent. Guilty until proven innocent. False flag until proven not. This is so... levels of stupid.
I'm going to tell you, I respect that this is not the first time anybody's had this idea, and perhaps we should think about the Spanish Inquisition for just a little bit. Like, we should assume murdering you is the right choice until you prove I shouldn't kill you.
Well, I really would love to get Ivan Raiklin in a room and workshop how we're going to deal with the witch problem.
Right?
You know?
We're going to have to assume that the only way to prove they are not witches is if they float when they drown.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll never know.
Come on, Raiklin, get on it.
Jesus Christ, man.
So another guest is Jack Posobiec.
Sure.
And
a luminary.
Wow, this guy is not subtle.
This was a Trump assassination attempt, the second one we've seen in 2 months, almost 2 months exactly to the day. And what we are now witnessing, and people know that I've got the book coming out about the first one. I've just got off the phone, by the way, with my publisher just a few minutes ago.
Oh,
Ryan
my God.
Routh will be included in Bulletproof. Order bulletproof.com. Ryan Routh
included
all of the information that we collect on him, and we're collecting a lot.
Don't worry. Whatever the information may be, we're going to stop the presses on this hot book in order to capitalize on this shooting.
That is like...
That's cynical.
I mean, I don't know if it gets more just pure capitalism.
It's dark.
You know? That is like at the end of Trading Places when they're like, oh, it was a bet for a dollar. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, you motherfuckers are crazy. Mm-hmm. That crazy.
I wonder if he thinks that, like, people will hear this and be like, God, he's a completist. This is a professional who wouldn't let this book come to market without getting that little detail.
It's about giving us value.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to have to buy another book.
I wonder if he actually thinks that's how it's coming across. Maybe it does to some people, but it seems very transparent.
Seems like trying to make money off of an assassination attempt.
Maybe we can get a little bit more if we include this part in this.
Yeah.
And it also makes me think, like, man, it must be easy for you to publish your books.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yep.
So Posobiec's got some information. It turns out that this shooter,
sure,
potential shooter, liked to eat at Comet Ping Pong pizza.
Sure.
That's not his information. Oh. But I just wanted to remind everyone that Jack Posobiec almost left in tears from Comet Ping Pong.
He was so scary.
Now, look, we know that Ukraine has been a nexus for CIA activity. We know that the CIA was directly training, and even the New York Times has reported the CIA was directly training Ukrainian death squads, directly training their individuals that were over. And, of course, we also know that the New York Times and others have reported that these guys were heavily involved in foreign fighter flows. Ryan Routh was the head of the International Volunteer Center in Ukraine. That's quote unquote a private organization helping volunteers seek to assist the war effort to connect with military units. Look, this was not aid. This was not humanitarian. This was combat. This was going into combat, and we're starting to see pictures of him, and we're starting to see things come out that basically it looks as though this guy wasn't just there for fun, that this guy was actively involved in combat operations in Ukraine.
So this guy did go to Ukraine to volunteer to fight, but he was turned down. According to the Washington Post, after this, he, quote, set up a tent in Kyiv's central Independence Square and spent several weeks camped there before the structure was removed by police. He's not the head of some volunteer fighter organization in Ukraine. He was a guy who lost his mind a little bit and tried to go fight in Ukraine, was rejected, and then hung out there in a tent for a little while before coming back to the United States. There's no evidence that he got some kind of special Ukrainian CIA training while he was there, but there's, you know, folks like Jack are pretty desperate to fill in the blanks in these narratives, so you just make these kind of leaps. Newsweek did a story about this. Apparently, the shooter claimed that he'd helped recruit for the International Legion for the Defense of Ukraine, who have flatly denied that bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Evelyn Aschenbrenner, who's been with them since 2022, told Newsweek that she received contacts from the alleged shooter that were unwelcome. He, quote, messaged Aschenbrenner between March 2022 and March 2024, sending details of potential recruits, including a list of some 6,000 Afghani citizens. He would then become hostile and manipulative when told to refrain from doing so. Newsweek has been sent an exchange of messages between Aschenbrenner and him. Quote, he sent me a PDF of like 6,000 Afghani citizens. They can't legally enter Europe. He was combative. He was argumentative. He refused to understand basic army policy, Aschenbrenner said. In some interviews, the alleged shooter has misrepresented himself as being involved with groups like the International Legion and as the head of the International Volunteer Center, but this seems to have no basis in reality. Evidence seems to have been also produced that seems to paint the picture that this was just kind of a crazy dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of it was expressed around support of Ukraine, but the extent to which they're taking a lot of this seriously when there's no evidence that he actually was involved in recruitment or in any fighting
or
training.
Yeah.
It's just kind of desperate.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you go back I guess this is a very specific reference, but there were quite a few writers and authors who talked glowingly about the French Foreign Legion. Mm-hmm. And now I think they may have been full of shit.
So Jack Posobiec believes that Trump needs his own army. And why not get Eric Prince to build him an army?
What?
Because there's traitors within.
What kind of insane...
Trump at this point, and I think a lot of people have been saying this over and over, he's got to call in Eric Prince. He's got to call in Eric Prince or someone to run private security for him, to someone to control not just the venues, but at all times. Because clearly what's going on, it has been penetrated multiple times now. There's some... Whatever it is right now is not good enough. Number one, of course, needs presidential-level security. Something that the Biden White House continues to refuse to give full presidential security to Donald Trump.
It's so cool and reasonable that these guys are just saying that Trump needs his own standing Blackwater type mercenary army outside of the government because there's too many traitors within. This is the kind of talk that definitely doesn't have a very specific vibe in history. You know, get Trump down in the bunker, get him a private army.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, we've invented castles and warlords. We're moving towards the future, baby.
Yeah, this feels chill as hell.
Yeah.
Also, these people need to grow the fuck up. Trump doesn't have presidential level security because he's not the president. I can't even count the number of times that these people and their entire grievance narratives have been based on how they think that some group or another is demanding special treatment. But now this is what they insist on.
Yeah.
Maybe Trump does need more security. Maybe that's the case. I'll believe that. But he's not getting treated like the president because he's not the president. And what's being done here is Jack is insisting that we partake in his fiction. For him, Trump still is the president, so he's entitled to presidential security details. He's not getting this, which means that the people in power are withholding this thing that he's entitled to him because they want him to be killed. I'm perfectly happy to engage with the premise that Trump may need more security, but if you're trying to sell it to me as like he should be treated like the president, that's a non-starter. He's not the president. Fuck off. You know, and that's the game that Jack wants to engage with, and I won't engage with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know what the phrase more security even means in this regard. Do you know what I mean? Like, I understand the idea of like, oh, well, he needs more security. Mm-hmm. But in terms of people, you can only fit so many people in any given space.
True.
So many people can only look at so much space at any given point in time. You're literally talking about just put them in a bunker. Put them in a fucking bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
You remember Hands Across America? Do that with guns outside everywhere
Fine.
He is.
Yes. If that's what you need, if you need like a little perfect bubble of marble to encase him in, I'll tell you what. Han Solo spent some safe time.
It's pretty safe.
In carbonite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say we do that.
Yeah, I don't believe there will be a point at which they would ever say, oh, this is an appropriate level of security that's being provided.
Yeah.
I don't think that exists. Although, but at the same time, I don't think that it's like unfair to say that Trump is behaving in ways that put much more risk to himself.
Right.
And maybe the amount of security that he has is insufficient to deal with the way that he behaves.
You know what? I'm talking myself into this. Maybe here's what we do. All right. Here's what we do. We get rid of this whole way we're doing things now. Terrible. Both candidates or all the candidates write out like, oh, if I were to become president, this is what I'd do. Mm-hmm. Right. Then we freeze all of them in carbonite.
Mm.
Everybody votes. Whichever carbonite wins gets to be put in the White House. And then we just do what's on the list.
Mm. Or put them and their cabinets in a Big Brother house. And
everybody else goes in the bunker.
Yeah. So we got the Secretary of Retribution, Ivan Raiklin, has popped in.
Sure.
Dumb Ding Dong, Jack Posobiec.
It's so pizza.
Has popped in.
Yep.
And now we get one of Alex's new best buddies, Nick Sortor.
Nick Sortor.
Nick Sortor is a guy who runs a Twitter space that's apparently fairly popular.
Oh, my
God. Twitter talk show.
So old.
He's also very dumb.
Yeah.
And he thinks that Trump should get more security. Fine.
Sure.
And we heard the Secret Service earlier say during the press conference that the reason they didn't protect and have a perimeter around the entire golf course is because he's not the president of the United States. Now, I'm going to make this point right here, and I'm opening this up to anybody that wants to argue with me for it. Donald Trump is a much bigger target than Joe Biden is. Nobody cares about Joe Biden. Nobody cares to go. If they take out Joe Biden, he's not running the country anyway. Somebody else is running the country. They get Kamala Harris, which is controlled by exactly
and
the
Nick,
same people.
And Nick, let me just interrupt you. Let me interrupt you and just say you're totally right.
Totally right. So the argument is that because Trump is more of a target, more public resources should be expended protecting him, even though that represents an unfair distribution of taxpayer funds. I don't think that these guys understand the implications of the arguments they're making. Because it's a pretty short walk from this kind of thinking to universal housing or medical coverage. It's pretty hard to demand that the government provide extra security to this guy while saying that the government has no responsibility to protect its citizens' well-being in areas like housing and food insecurity. The image is even harder to square because Trump is a fucking billionaire and he should have no problem paying for this additional security himself. The perspective that Alex and Nick have is incoherent. And on top of that, they think that the Secret Service are the ones who organized and let the shootings happen. They shouldn't be demanding more protection from the same entity that's trying to kill him. This is all nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, it all is like it's main character disease.
Mm.
You know, like it is like, oh, these are the characters in the story.
Mm.
So these are the only people that I have to be concerned with. So I don't actually have to step back and think, oh, does what I'm saying apply to people who are not main characters in the story?
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't exist. The people, quote unquote, do not exist in these conversations, right? Like, who cares? Who cares why you would need security?
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a bigger target than you, so he needs more security.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Oh, so we distribute based on who has a need.
No. Because he needs it because we all need it.
Oh.
See, because we need... So, like, I understand that you might need security. So, like, oh, you're not large, and mm-hmm. there are large people nearby who can beat you up and take your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you might need security, but he's a bigger target. And if he's secure, then you're secure.
Hmm.
Now, admittedly, he won't do anything about those large people who are going to beat you up and steal your stuff.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think once you go down this road too much, it's a matter of perspective. And I think it's just a value judgment.
Yeah, and then you start choosing who's valuable and who's not.
And I think they have.
And there we go! Nazis!
So, Nick is kind of upset that he can't bring water into Trump rallies. Sure.
They still didn't give him the presidential level detail that, honestly, that he deserves. You know, like I said, this guy is a lot more of a target than Joe Biden is. And I go to Trump rallies all around the country at this point, and they still have not banned rangefinders. You can still bring a rangefinder into a Trump rally, but you can't bring a water bottle with a lid on it. You have to go inside and you can buy a water bottle, but you have to take the lid off and everything. These people aren't serious. So at a very minimum, Alex, they are complicit
It's kind of sad to hear this kind of thing from Nick. Like, rangefinders aren't illegal to carry, and they aren't only used in the context of shooting. Like, they have applications in photography and shit like that. Plus, shouldn't they think that Trump banning rangefinders at his rally would be an attack on the Second Amendment?
Yeah.
Like, these people make no sense.
Also, shouldn't they be like, oh, who needs a rangefinder? That's not the assassin that I'm scared of, right? I don't know what these... What's the consistency?
I guess there could be some bravado.
What's the consistency here?
Also, a lot of concerts and events don't let you bring in outside drinks. They want to sell you drinks while you're a captive audience. Or at very least, they don't want people sneaking in alcohol. I don't understand what Nick's complaint
is
here.
It's very
obvious. This is very dumb.
Here's middle ground, all right? I also want to get rid of the TSA. So let's sidestep this whole Trump issue. And we just deal with, you can bring water on planes now.
Hmm.
See? Problem solved.
Okay. I mean, look, obviously I think Nick might join you in that. But
see?
I don't think it would affect his feelings about Trump rallies.
We need to ignore those. He shouldn't be going to Trump rallies.
No rangefinders and let me have my fucking water. Cool.
Done.
Whatever.
We deal made.
I don't care.
I'll spit in my hand and shake it.
So Alex believes that he's proven that the shooter was CIA, Ukrainian.
Interesting.
All this stuff, which he has not.
No.
But then Harrison pops in with something that's very dumb.
Bottom line, Trump's would-be assassin is now a confirmed CIA, Ukraine war, foreign legion cutout who knew right when to drop in at an unannounced event that nobody knew Trump was going to be there. And that's what they're saying Mongino is saying, and I'll go with Sortor. He's a great source. We'll go back to Sortor in a minute and then other speakers, but right now, let's go to Harrison Smith. Harrison.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right to question, you know, how this guy knew where to go, how he knew exactly where to be. Tons of questions swirling about this. But you know what? Forget the Ukraine thing. Forget the Russian thing. To me, this is about the staccatic terror of the left. This is about radicalized Democrats.
So Alex has proved literally none of that stuff that he says, but man, it sounds like he's having fun, and I'm glad for him there.
Yeah.
Also, Harrison, he needs to learn the word stochastic, and then he needs to learn how much Alex doesn't believe in theories about stochastic terrorism. It's critically important for him to not believe that violent rhetoric being deployed can directly result in an increased likelihood of real-world violence being committed. Because if Alex does accept that premise, then he should call for his own arrest. InfoWars as an institution really only makes sense if you reject the concept of stochastic terrorism, and this is a really good example of how Harrison doesn't really get the larger game that he's supposed to be playing with Alex. Accusing the left of stochastic terrorism feels really good right now in the moment, and it probably feels smart, like he's using big words and heady concepts, but then you have to kind of pretend that everything would be fine if the left just mumbled politically after they said it, and you look stupid. You look really fucking stupid. Smash cut to Alex pornographically describing stomping people's guts out and all this shit. Harrison's a fucking idiot.
No, there's tons of, like, I know you are, but what am I's? Whenever you are at the very least, like, nominally another organization, but you are essentially the stochastic terrorism example.
Yeah, and your world relies on doing it and pretending it doesn't exist.
Yeah, you can't pot call the kettle black because you are the you. It's you.
It's
like you embody it.
It's one thing to, you know, have some sort of hypocrisy about things and events and shit like that,
right?
Or behaviors, but this one's conceptual, and that's more difficult.
Yeah, because if I was going to an encyclopedia that was like, explain stochastic terrorism, because I've just heard Harrison Smith say stochastic terrorism, it would be like, well, on InfoWars, here's stochastic, and it's the example. It's like such a perfect example.
Yeah. Once you accept this premise that this is a thing,
yes,
it now becomes incumbent upon you to explain why that is not why you have a job.
Yes. It just must not exist for you.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way that I think Alex deals with it a lot of the time.
That's the only
way. This is really glaring.
Yeah.
And Harrison also always says it's stochastic.
Harrison is one of those classic, like, man, he thinks he's smart guys.
Yeah.
Oof.
And he's a dweeb.
Yep.
And he's weak. He's fucking weak. And Alex smells weakness on him in this next clip and has to try and save the ship.
I'm a little bit annoyed that Trump is joking about this. And again, you know, this is Trump. We know who he is. We know how he reacts. I don't want to throw shade at the guy when he survives his second assassination attempt in as many months. But when he's going, you know, well, I wish I could have finished the hole. I was through two under par. It's like, dude, there are Trump supporters being beaten in the streets. They're trying to kill you. He's got to take this seriously. And it's not even that I think he's handling it incorrectly. It's almost like he doesn't get it. It's almost like he doesn't understand that, like, they're trying to kill him. He's not taking it seriously, and not even for his own sake, but I think just for the sake of his supporters and the violence and rhetoric and demonization that we're subjected to. You know, you've got people like...
Well, that's why the deep state hates Trump, because I've been around Trump only a few times, talked to him on the phone a lot. The presence he has is intimidating, and I don't get intimidated either. He's like, whoa, his wife, too. And he just is so confident and thinks he's invincible that these people are all a bunch of evil, scared rats. They just freak out around it. They don't want to support strength. They get threatened by it, you understand? So I think Trump, yeah. I mean, Roger told me this many, like 8 years ago. They said Trump is fatalistic in that he just doesn't, it's, I mean, look, he's behind glass now at the rallies.
Yeah, cool, that's strong. So Harrison's point that he's making is, what about me? His point is like, okay, first of all, like Trump, if he got shot on a golf course, if they're shooting at him and he's like, I didn't get to finish my hole, that's so strong. That's cool. That's acting like I don't give a shit.
That's what you should say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Harrison is reacting to that like, but me, my feelings, I'm under attack. Trump, why do you validate my feelings? Why do you have to act so strong? It makes me feel weak.
Yeah.
And Alex can smell that.
Yeah.
And he responds by talking about how strong Trump is.
Yep. Yep. Man,
he's just a fucking wiener.
How is he still around? It's almost tokenistic at this point.
Argument that I have.
Yes.
There's no one else.
I agree.
There aren't other
that
applicants.
That is not an argument.
Yeah.
Argument accepted, argument over.
Yeah. I don't think that there's a lot of people who it's very appealing for them to be third banana
it
at InfoWars.
It was
actually fourth if you count Chase.
Yeah, I was going to say Chase did not even try. He just showed up one day and he was like, you're number three now.
Yeah.
That's how bad Harrison is on the depth chart.
Oof.
Yeesh.
It's rough to watch.
It is.
You feel bad for the guy, and especially because he's calling in on the Twitter space.
I know.
He doesn't even have to be there.
What are you doing? Go to the office. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. So we get some callers on Twitter. This person, this is a crazy point that they make.
I'm asking everybody out there to pray for this one thing, that there's some group of people inside of the DOJ, because they have the actual power to get and take down the traitors that are in Department of Homeland Security and that are in the State Department and are in the CIA, and that they act, that they take down somebody like a Blinken or a Mayorkas, so that the signal is sent that we're serious people and we've got control of our political system again, and we're going to have a free and fair election. And if those people don't stand up, we will be destroyed.
In case it's not clear, he's saying that we need to send a message to Putin.
Right.
So basically what he's saying is, God, I hope there's some people within the DOJ who are strong enough to overthrow the government as a message to Putin that we're cool.
Yeah.
Don't bomb us, Putin, please, because we've overthrown our government. Wow.
I really like the idea of just overthrowing a department as though it's not part of the whole, like, hey, listen, we're never going to get the whole government.
Right.
But the DOJ is ours.
The DOJ.
Because we've got Blinken in a hole.
We need somebody at the DOJ to take over the Secretary of State's department.
Wait,
as a message to Putin that we're chill.
Hold on. What? Mm-hmm. What?
This is a conversation that belongs on Twitter.
Who is giving him this message?
He'll get it. He'll see.
He'll just get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Oh.
Any world leader would understand that if you arrest the Secretary of State, that means that you're willing to play ball.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Sure. That's what I would assume.
Cool. So Alex hasn't proven shit about this this shooter at the golf course.
Naturally.
But he sort of takes a little bit of a victory lap.
All right, this is breaking. Of course, it broke over an hour ago here with Jack Posobiec on the show. He broke it before the name was even released, that it was a Ukrainian Foreign Legion guy from the U.S. Now the New York Post, AP, they're all reporting would-be Trump assassin ID'd as Ryan Roth, 58, of Hawaii. And he is part of a CIA Foreign Legion, and then magically knew when to drop in when it was totally unannounced where Trump was going to be. That's now confirmed and was very close to him. So he had help. This is the type of libtard, Looney Tune, nut jobs that wants to kill Trump because he doesn't want World War III. You have Sean Penn a year and a half ago saying nuclear war is good. Let's have one with Russia. I mean, these are lunatic, maniac, crazy people. I just can't even believe it.
You shouldn't, because you're just making it up.
I absolutely cannot believe it. Yeah. That is an unbelievable story.
Yeah, pretty much all of that is completely disconnected from reality.
Thoroughly unbelievable.
Yeah, but we've seen over the course of this episode the way that each of those details kind of gets built in.
Yeah.
And how they're all really dumb.
Yeah.
But it comes together to a cohesive whole that he's now pretending the AP is reporting.
Yeah, it is odd because it's like watching somebody buy a puzzle, like a 500-piece puzzle, and then being like, oh, this puzzle is really fucking hard. And then they throw that puzzle on the ground. And then they just grab a bunch of pieces, and then they try and fit those together, and like, ah, this is never going to work. So then they just get a piece of paper and cut it into four squares and then tape it together wrong somehow.
Ta-da.
That is what we are looking at. Yes. Yeah.
So a little bit later in the show, Nick Sartor is talking, and
man, that's
like
a great last name,
especially when you pronounce it like Alex.
Ah, Sartor.
Sartor.
Oh.
He's talking, and he's like, you know, Alex, a lot of people have been woken up because of you, and I'm not just saying that. I got people on the ground. They're talking to people.
Sure.
They're like, oh, they love you, Alex.
Always on the ground.
And then Chase comes in. He's like, Alex is gone. He's working on other stuff. So Alex has just left at some point. So I did turn it off after that deflationary moment.
That's the good stuff.
But we have one more call here. And this person, I feel like I resent them more because towards the end of it, they reveal that they live in Europe. And that, I feel like...
doesn't count.
It bothers me.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to point out again, because it was mentioned before, how crucial it is that we recognize Trump is unique and he's irreplaceable. And that's why if something, I mean, of course, we don't hope for an attack like this to happen on Kamala Harris either. But if it happened, she would be easily replaceable, just like Joe Biden was replaceable. But Trump is completely irreplaceable. And each time something like this happens, we have to realize that there is nobody else in the Republican Party who could replace Trump, simply because he is not only shifting the Overton window towards a more right-wing narrative or something. No, he's allowing us freedom of the people. He is the man of the people, and that's why he is stepping out of this entire establishment. That's why he's such a threat to the entire system. And Kamala Harris came out with a statement, apparently, saying that she condemns the violence, or something like violence has no place in America. Well, isn't that fucking ironic? Sorry for swearing, but she is the one letting in the illegal immigrants, and we have seen, not just in Europe but also now in America, to what kind of crime that leads.
Oh boy. So yeah, Kamala Harris supports violence because she is fine with immigrants.
Yep.
Go fuck yourself.
Yep.
But also, like, at the beginning, that whole thing about Trump being irreplaceable and shit, like, I get it. And I do think that in terms of, like, you're going to have a hard time finding a charismatic leader at this point.
Sure.
You guys have committed a little bit far in this direction.
Sure, sure.
But this hits me the same way that it hearing someone like Tucker say that the hopes of half of the country rest with this one person.
Yeah.
Without him, they have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think lowly of Trump supporters, but I don't think that has, I don't think as badly as this, like, you, without you, we've got nothing. You're irreplaceable. Like, I'm.
Yeah, there's so many problems with that in terms of, like, if you just want to be an asshole about them, just be like, well, strategically, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your enemy or opponent's fault.
Yeah.
That is your fault.
It is.
So you should deal with that as though you have made a mistake.
Yeah. You not have as overcommitted though in this direction, and that is a
totally
big blunder.
Totally. But furthermore, if you just want to go with the general principle of representative government, I understand that we care about these people because they are people, mm-hmm, but at the same time, the point is everyone is replaceable.
Yeah.
Every single person could be replaced at any moment because we govern ourselves.
Within representativeness.
Yeah, that's the idea. The problem with everybody in the government being murdered right away is the chaos of having to replace everybody in the government. Not like, oh, no one will ever be able to do these jobs.
Yeah. The problem is your relationship with Trump.
Yeah.
You are doing this.
It is all your fault.
And you know, I think that on, you know, you can take it on that level, but you can also look at it on a human level. And it is a real bummer that there is that much codependency between them and Trump. Like, I really wish that what I could do is get them to listen to that Beyonce song, "You Must Not Know About Me."
Yeah.
I could find another you in a minute.
Yeah.
Get to that place with Trump. The GOP needs to just get that Beyonce energy.
I don't know.
Because it's sad.
Yeah.
Sad to see.
Yeah. Yep. Brutal.
Oh, no.
Brutal.
Yep.
I don't know what it's like. So when I was getting my tattoo done, there was a guy who was very much of the, like, how would I describe him? The guy who's got a small business that you don't know if it is or isn't successful, but he's got his business name on his truck. Mm-hmm. That kind of guy. And he was getting a tattoo, and he was very much of the, like, here's why I supported Trump and all this stuff and what Trump does and all these things. And it's like, this has nothing to do with Trump at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have just got a complete, I don't even know if they've, I think it's even transcended the concept of Trump or what Trump is or believes. And it is a purely religious, like, Trump means the good things that I want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it has, he's not related to any concept of, like, Trump has said he would do this, or this is something Trump has done, or this is something that Trump wants to do or at all. Yeah. It's just like, well, these are the things that I want. And because of what I have been, inured with,
well, I
must believe that Trump will provide them.
Yeah, and I think enough time with enough messaging along the lines of that shit that Tucker says, stuff like, without him, they have nothing.
Yeah.
It's not unimaginable that some people internalize that.
I mean, they internalize it in a weird way where it doesn't require him.
Nope.
You should have to have something if not having it is meaningful.
Well, I know that, you know, as we look at the presidential ticket.
Yeah.
Trump is not replaceable by Vance. That is for sure.
Oh, my God. Of all the like, shit, guys, this is my first day there could ever be, it would be J.D. Vance trying to then run a presidential.
I would say that if Vance knows what's up,
yeah,
he will not make Vivek his running mate if Trump dies, because his days will be numbered. Somehow through palace coup, Vivek is going to become president.
It would be the only thing that makes sense. There's no way that just regular, you know, that's kind of the problem with where we're at, is that it feels like there's no way there's just going to be a regular ass Democratic outcome.
Mm-mm.
Just like regular ass, like, oh, we vote.
You're holding on to
happens.
Your Nikki Haley could become president. I'm holding on to my Vivek.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
So anyway, we'll be back with another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.